your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Merry meet and merry part, bright the cheeks and warm the heart. For tread the circle thrice about, to keep unwelcome spirits out. Bide within the law you must, in perfect love and perfect trust. Mind the threefold laws you should, three times bad and three times good. These eight words the reed fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Merry meet everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron here on the Para-X Radio Network. My guest tonight is author and psychic Jane Doherty. Now, Jane is one of the nation's leading authorities on psychic experiences, and for more than 20 years, she's acted as a communication bridge between the living and the departed, and has helped thousands, tens of thousands of people understanding their past, present, future, and the spirit world. Now, paranormal expert, the late, great Hans Holzer, named Jane as one of America's top 20 psychics, and her media coverage includes the New York Times, CNN, Fox News Network, MSNBC, Reuters News Media, and The Today Show. And she starred in the international TV series Dead Tenants for TLC, as well as Jane Doherty Investigates, which is a DVD series. She does private consultations, lectures, conducts ghost investigations and seances, and offers classes including psychic boot camps to those who seek to discover and develop their psychic abilities. Tonight, she's here to talk about her best-selling book, Awakening the Mystic Gift, The Surprise Truth About What It Means to Be Psychic. And we're also going to be talking about seance, because Jane is going to be conducting two seances at Bruce Tango's Southern Mansion event on January 25th and 26th. So we're going to cover all bases tonight. As usual, we've got a lot to cover in little time, so we're going to get started. And Jane, welcome. It's been a very long time since you've been in the Cauldron area. And nice
I'm very you excited. Thank you for having me on again. You're a great interviewer, and you've got such good vibrations. I love it.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. All right, let's hit the nitty-gritty first about the word psychic.
Okay.
Because the word psychic has several different connotations, depending on who you ask. And there are a lot of misconceptions about what being psychic is all about. So I think that's a good place to begin with just a little basic information.
Actually, you look at it as psychic ability. It's just that we have a higher perception than most people. So it's a gift that's there for everyone. It's just some people develop it and some don't, just like you have musical talent or sport talent. It has to be exercised and performed in order to increase the ability. But it's a very, very natural ability. Mm-hmm. People think it as a mystery, but it's really not. It's something we all have.
Yeah, and people don't always believe that, but I think it's because they're afraid, maybe. Oh my God, I'm psychic. There's something wrong with me. I'm otherworldly. You know, people panic sometimes.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes people get afraid of it because as they start just getting information on their own, it seems to be that people will tap in first to the negative, like something bad happening.
Yeah.
And I usually tell them once you have it fully developed, that ends. And then you're tapping into the good and the future rather than just bad things happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, people always look at the bad first. I mean,
yes.
You know, a bad ghost must be a demon, you know.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's entertaining when it's on TV, but it's not that way in real life.
No.
I think we have to kind of, you know, it's like with witches. We're not bad, but people see,
right.
You know, on Halloween and flying brooms and cackling and cursing and all that stuff. And so it's kind of hard to play down the truth because it's not as maybe exciting or interesting or something as
right, exactly.
But see, here's the other part about psychic, because spirituality comes into play as well. And I'd like you to talk about spirituality for a minute, because again, more misconceptions about that. Some people mistake spirituality for religion, but spirituality is pretty much mandatory in the metaphysical realm, which where many of us dwell. So how do you define spirituality, and how important is it to live a spiritual life?
Spirituality is extremely important, and what I perceive as spirituality is really is being kind to others, is looking at the whole picture of something, understanding. It's not just, some people think it's just tapping into the spirit world, mm-hmm. and that's not true. It's the way you live your life. You have to always spiritually grow and emotionally grow, so that you're perfecting your soul, you're loving people, you're understanding why people are the way they are, and not being critical. So that's all a part of spirituality, and raising your vibrations is important too.
Yeah, and it's not a difficult thing to do. I think it's more like a mindset and understanding.
Yes. I believe that too, that it is a mindset, it's an understanding. You know, when I was beginning teaching this, you know, 20-some-odd years ago, what I found is that people, and I wouldn't teach them if they were going in it for this reason, if they were going to develop their ability because they see it as a power that they could have over someone, I tried not to take them as a student.
Yes.
Because that's not what it is. Mm-hmm. You're going in it for the wrong reason. If you're going in it to so that you have that higher perception, it helps your life to be able to make decisions. It can help other people's lives when you're able to see for them and help them grow. So it's all about that emotional and spiritual growth.
Yeah, and you know, on a personal level, it really surprised me, and I kind of got a little weird about this in the sense that once I started getting very seriously into paganism and stuff, it did change mm-hmm. my life quite a bit, to the better. You know, I was calmer, I could understand things, and I thought, oh, okay, well, that's what being a witch is all about. But then, as we get older and wiser, I realized it wasn't the witchcraft or the witch name or even the pagan name. It was the spirituality, because mm-hmm. I don't think, it's hard to explain, but I don't think that it was, I was learning, I was following my path and you know, embracing all these things that I was meant to do. But in the beginning, I didn't attribute it to spirituality. And so that's why I was thinking, you know, it is kind of a mindset, because once you learn what it is, it really can change your life forever, because it's a kinder, gentler way.
Yes. And it gives you more confidence. It helps you make decisions. You get a greater understanding of a lot of things in life. And that, to me, is so important. I mean, I lost a marriage as a result of my becoming psychic.
Yes.
But there would be nothing today that would have changed my mind. Mm-hmm. Because I get to the point of being able to love myself as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And gain confidence, understanding, not afraid of death. You just have things more into perspective and even the meaning of life. And you go through it at such a different level and understanding that there's reasons that things happen
mm-hmm.
and that you have to open the door. And sometimes you get your answer that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you lead a path rather than it's either black or white. And that is such a peaceful feeling and a wonderful feeling.
It is. It's truly an amazing feeling. And I just, a side note, I really like the phrase in the book's blurb that describes your book as your spellbinding journey. And I think that's a great adjective to describe it, because the whole experience of transformation from one way of thinking into another is somewhat magical. And, you know, the metaphysical world is a very magical place of possibilities. And so it all kind of gels together. So I just wanted to throw that in because it's...
It's interesting because, and I'm not, you know, afraid to say this, I mean, I was a very religious person. I was Catholic at one time. I wanted to be a nun. So it's interesting how once I got so deep into the psychic ability and past lives and the spirit world, my views of religion changed drastically. But I will not talk about religion. I still, you know, feel the religion and still, you know, go to church. But it's different. I have the understanding. And it doesn't matter to me what path you're following. It's getting to where you have to get. And that's that self-understanding and spirituality.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the book because The Mystic Gift is about your personal journey. It's about finding your path, your purpose, and your experiences along the way. I think the most interesting part of it all is the fact that you had no apparent, to yourself, psychic abilities. So how did your journey from mundane to mystical start to unfold? Because it seems that it was your curiosity that led you to your very first reading, and then the determination to either make a liar out of the psychic or a believer, who you know, the one who gave you the reading. So is that a fair assumption?
Oh, absolutely. That's an excellent assumption and description. I mean, I was a total skeptic. I did not believe in this. And how it happened is I went to buy a Christmas present or birthday present for my sister. And I went to a mall and I saw all these people having psychic readings. And I was, wow. So I decided to try it out of curiosity. But the first psychic, I simply, you know, walked away. And I couldn't believe what she was saying because she's telling me that I was going to be a famous psychic. I was going to be divorced. And I would be on NBC. So I thought she was crazy. And then I got more curious. And then after going to 150 psychics to prove or disprove whether this ability was real or not, I decided, and they're all telling me the same thing. So I decided the only way to prove or disprove it was to go to psychics and then also to try to develop the ability. So that's what really got me in. I used to be a high school teacher. So this was like my personal research to find the answers and also some of the mysteries of life.
That's like the real important part, I think. And to realize that there are mysteries, because some people just live in the black and white, you know, and they don't see anything else. So to open your mind and get you moving, once you start that, it's a never-ending journey, but it's a lovely one.
And it is on a level that is so deep. You know, we all want self-love. We all want self-confidence. We all have varying degrees of it. But we're always trying to really achieve that point of self-love where you're happy with yourself. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what others think of you. And that, to me, was what turned out to be so important. Because I thought that I loved myself and I thought I was a confident person. Mm-hmm. But once I embraced this study and this field and research, it just unfolded more, and I became more and more confident. And I began to really realize what self-love was. Mm-hmm. And when you get there, you're naturally psychic because you've peeled away all those emotional layers. Yeah. And I also saw it as definitely connected to God in the sense of, I said to myself, we pray to God, our higher power, whatever we're praying to, but then we don't get our answers. Mm-hmm. And we may get more prayers answered if we paid attention to the coincidences around us, the doors that come as a result of our prayers that we don't realize it's a door. And if we open them, then we might get the answer and more prayers answered. And psychic ability has created more of that for me.
Yeah. It's amazing. And it's funny that you talk about psychic ability connected to God, because I was going to ask you about that down the line, but I'll jump in right now. Because, you know, in some people's minds, they feel that being psychic is the devil's work. We know this, you know, fundamentalists get
Yes.
And I know I've been told I'm going straight to hell for being a witch. So, you know, in the book, though, you talk about how world history has not been kind to people who were psychic. And you talk about the estimated 300,000 women who had ESP, extrasensory perception, who were accused of being witches and were either mm-hmm. burnt, hanged, or persecuted in other ways during the Protestant Reformation. And so, you know, sometimes we have to tread carefully. I mean, it took me a long time to come out of the broom closet. And a lot of people who have these talents and abilities and gifts are afraid to. And one of the chapters in your book is called My Secret Life. And I know mm-hmm. there are people out there who also have secret lives because they're afraid of ridicule or worse if they were to openly share their gifts. So how do you or how did you step out of the shadows? I mean, was it easy to do at all? And what do you tell others who might be afraid to reveal or even try and embrace their abilities in the first place because of this?
Usually when somebody begins in this field, I sort of like to tease them a little bit and say, don't share it with your husband at this point. Because I've met many people who started on this path, and then people, you know, the husband didn't understand them, or the wife, whichever the case may be, and then it caused problems. So I say, in the beginning, you know, just do what you're doing. That's what I did. I mean, I received a lot of ridicule from my husband. He thought I was going crazy. I even got persecution from my mother and sister, who at the time said, I don't know you. You're not my daughter anymore. Right. But I persevered because I saw that this was connected to God, mm-hmm. whatever God is at this mm-hmm. point. And I felt that, and that was like the statement I made to my husband when he said to me, you got to make a choice. It's either me or the field that you're in. And I said, honey, I love you very much. I said, but I will not give this up because to me, this is like giving up God. I feel that connection. It's like living life, feeling the presence of God around you mm-hmm. on the earth. Mm-hmm. And I won't give that up for anyone. So you have to persevere would be my advice. In the beginning, you test the waters, who you can mm-hmm. say it to and who you can't. Today, it's a lot easier than it was 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So you have that advantage now. Mm-hmm. It's more open. And then you persevere. If this is your conviction, and you will get it as you see how it makes you feel, how you feel stronger. Inside and inner strength and peace. And that to me is what's most important.
It is. And the peace of mind that it gives. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't say the mundane things don't pop in and, you know, mess us up a little bit, but it's how we react to it. And this is one of the ways to do it. I mean, it's amazing. That's all I can say.
But, there's also another benefit to it that a lot of people wouldn't think. Uh-huh. As a result of my being in this field, I am so close to my children. I have a son and a daughter. Mm-hmm. And I grew them up to be a person. I didn't just look at them, this is my son and this is my daughter and I'm your mother. I didn't stay in those roles. And we developed such a strong bond that my son and daughter used to say that I was their best friend. Mm-hmm. And we have such a close bond now, we treat each other as people. Yes. They respect me. There's no problem with that, but I also see them as a person, and they see me as a person, and I think that's beautiful, to be able to go through life, and that's the metaphysical, spiritual view, mm-hmm. and that's strong and wonderful.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of perks, and people, as they go along, will find them, and more doors will open. But getting people to even consider thinking about it because, you know, I mean, your book is inspiring. It's an intriguing story of your awakening. And you encourage readers to believe that we are all psychic. And we talked about this a couple seconds ago or a little bit ago. But in the book, you show them how to awaken the gift that they already possess. And there are signs that we all have the gift, aren't there? Because like it's similar to the visual imagery that you had early on, although you didn't know at the time that it was anything mm-hmm. out of the ordinary. You want to explain that?
Yes, because most people tend to think that a psychic impression comes to you with a bang on the head. And it's like, here I am. I'm a psychic impression. doesn't come that way. It's very subtle. It's something all of a sudden you might just be concentrating is a key. You might just be in the shower. That was one of the best places to think. And you get an insight, and then you follow it. And the more you follow it, the more psychic you become, mm-hmm. because you're building trust and you're beginning to be able to understand what is a psychic or intuitive impression as opposed to what you want to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's how it unfolds.
And, you know, you said something about the shower, and this is something that we do in the craft. Well, some people do. The shower is very important because water is very important, and you know this. Mm-hmm. It attracts spirit. It attracts all kinds of good things. But we use a shower sometimes as a cleansing device, that you take your troubles with you into the shower, and you think about them. And as you're thinking about them, you kind of watch them go down the drain. And it's a very cleansing, both physically and mentally, thing to do. It's very easy to do, too. But, you know, you keep this thought. Never thought of it that way, but it's good.
Oh,
do I want to think about that? No. And look at the drain. The water's going down. The soap's going down. And it's just circling the drain. So, yeah, showers and water are very,
excellent.
Very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little tip there. Now, we all pick up on these different things in different ways, just as our abilities come in different varieties as well. And this would probably be a good time to mention that in the appendix at the back of the book, there's a chapter on how to jumpstart the psychic development process. And, you know, now people are going to think, okay, that's all I need to read. That's, it's going to work, you know, because it's a quick, everybody wants a quick fix. So let's talk a little bit about jumpstarting, but that doesn't mean you're learning everything when you jumpstart.
No, it's very important to understand because you can open it up, but if you don't have understanding, you're not going to be able to interpret things as accurately as you can when you have understanding of things and understanding of yourself. But to jumpstart it, it's concentration is a skill that is very necessary, as well as being able to instantly relax. Because in order to get into a psychic mode to receive, you must be in some sort of relaxation, whether, you know, concentration and relaxation. Mm-hmm. So that's how, you know, you do it. So in the book, there is a whole hypno-meditation that brings you to the different levels and then actually programs you to be open to experience more psychic impressions or intuitive impressions and developing your ability further.
Mm-hmm. And I think another important thing to jumpstart the psychic development process is to break down the walls that have been put upon most people. You can't do this, you can't do that, that's not normal. You know, we all have them.
Absolutely.
Even maybe subliminally, but they're there because we're all taught that. I mean, I was lucky. I was raised in a family that embraced the metaphysical world, the psychic world. You know, my mother from early on kind of joked around. She said, I see dead people. You know, I mean, it's a big deal, you know, that kind of thing. And then, you know, with the great grandmother being a witch, I mean, it was wonderful because I didn't have those walls to begin with, but everybody I talked to generally does. Misinformation, fear, a lack of education about this stuff. I mean, there's several reasons. And but I think knocking down the walls, just chipping away at them little by little, and by, like, as people read the book, it's going to make it so much easier to do that. Because one of the another wonderful aspect of the book are the insights that you have at the end of each chapter. And it's very good food for thought. It gives the reader also a chance to add those insights with some of their own. And reading the book is going to hug you like a nice cushy blanket, because it's going to bring you into what you can feel by reading the book, what you're in for if you decide to jump in with feet.
Which is great, because I've had positive comments like that. Mm-hmm. And, like, sometimes people say they feel like they're having coffee talk with me in the book,
uh-huh.
you know, in learning so much and giving them the impetus to start thinking. The chapter on dreams, because that is one of the first ways psychic ability comes through. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of people write to me and say that when they read that chapter, they started to have dreams that were psychic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. And there have been a couple of mediums that have actually sent me a message to credit me for opening up their psychic ability, giving them the courage to go forward and open it up.
Wow. That kind of validation is wonderful. It really is.
So, and I did it for that reason. I just want people to have this knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see it so closely aligned to God, whatever God is, and to give you a better life in so many ways.
It does. It's hard to explain. I mean, you're doing a great job, but to feel it, to just even that first little carrot that gets dangled will draw you in. It's
yes.
Just such a big change.
There was a book I read during the process, because I will admit there was a time when I realized, oh my God, I'm changing, different from everybody around me, from my husband, my family, friends. And I knew that if I continued, that I was going to step a line and there was no way I was going back.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a book, I don't know if it's still around now, but it was by a famous talk show psychiatrist from California called David Viscott.
Mm-hmm. I remember him.
And he wrote a book called Risking. Mm-hmm. And it was a small book, and I read that, and that's what helped me go over the line. Because when I realized not making it, because I was deadlocked, you know, in that decision, and then I realized from his book that not making a decision was also making one. And that if you don't risk, you're only half alive.
Mm-hmm.
But by taking that risk, you just become fully alive. And that's what convinced me. I'm going for it. I'm moving over that line and not going to look back.
Yeah, I think an open mind is really important. And again, learning, look things up, read things, talk to other people. Don't be afraid. I mean,
right.
You have to open things up. Yeah.
And understand why you are the way you are.
Yes.
Because what you were talking about before, there are so many emotional things that we have on us that hold us back. Emotional scars from childhood, from our peers, from something we read, from a teacher, all these things.
Yeah.
And it becomes part of your subconscious mind, and you don't realize that this affects who you are, holds mm-hmm. you back, or makes you feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to think of those things as to what may make you have a fear. And you can trace it back. I'll tell you a very personal and funny story that I'll tell when I lecture.
Good.
I had a deathly fear of bees.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bad that if the kids were in the car with me and a bee came in, I pulled over to the side and made the kids get out. I opened the doors and waited till the bee got out. If a bee got into the house, I'd close that door, and I'd have to wait until my husband or my mother came home to kill the bee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here I was an adult, and I was petrified to kill the bee to go near it.
Mm-hmm.
And in deep thought, in my reflection and things, and I realized what it was.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a child, my mother, you know, my job was to clean and polish the furniture, but my mother is Italian, and she's very fast. My father's Polish, so I took more after him. And if you didn't do the job fast enough, she's coming over and she's grabbing the rag and she's taking it out of your hand and say, I'll do it. You're not doing it fast enough. So on a subconscious level, I assumed I wasn't fast enough. And this manifested in my not being able to kill a bee.
Mm.
Once I realized that, I can kill them all day long now. I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
So there's things like that in your life that you don't realize that causes some kind of reaction in you.
Mm-hmm. And to
so these are things that I did and I thought of.
It works. I mean, it really, really works. Now, your book covers so many topics. I mean, everything from making the psychic connection to the greater mission to death is not the end. The paranormal is normal, and I gave you a yay for that one. direct communication with a guide and everything in between. Now, people are always curious about spirit guides or guides. So the direct communication with the guide is something that perhaps we can talk a little bit about, because everybody wants to know how to recognize a guide, how to communicate with a guide. We can do that.
Okay. There's lots of ways. Of course, it's going to go into a meditation and asking to asking a guide to let yourself know who it is or that it's there. And sometimes what you'll do is you will actually get a vision. The good time to do this is when you're going to bed at night. Mm-hmm. There's a period of time where you're actually in a state of hypnosis, where you hear things going on in the room and you just don't pay attention to them, and you allow yourself to drift off into sleep. That's really a basic hypnosis state at that point. Once you get to sleep, the hypnosis stops. So in that state, that's when you could be asking for your guide to come through in a dream, or to make it them known in some way. So that's one way. And of course, in meditation, sometimes you can get that too. Mm-hmm. And then paying attention to what goes on around you, the coincidences that go on, because in doing that, you get to understand a pattern of whether a guide is going to actually come directly, or whether you're going to hear something, or whether you're going to just sense something around you. But if you pay attention, you will know. It will lead to a pattern, mm-hmm. And the pattern, it will be significant, and so that you know what to look for each time.
They know who we are, and they know how to get to us if we just open up enough. It's
yes.
If we weren't
so harried and busy.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
We don't take the time. But we need to take the time, not just for psychic ability or metaphysical or whatever, for life. We need to be able to enjoy things here and there without having worrying about deadlines and picking up kids from school or working overtime. I mean, so much of that mundane stuff can be kind of put aside if you just allow it to be.
And we only need 5 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
For us to tune in, to think of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we can find that in the busy part of our day, even though it's so busy. We still can get 5 minutes. That's where I would find it, in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get my time staying a little longer in the shower.
Yeah.
And being able to meditate and getting that time for myself when the kids were small.
Mm-hmm. And it's true. I've always told people, you know, meditation is wonderful. Well, I can't do that because it takes so long. No, it takes 5 minutes. I'm the 5 minute kid when it comes to that. I've been preaching that for the longest time because it's non-threatening. You can hold your attention for 5 minutes, you know.
Yes.
As opposed to
you can meditate while you're driving because you're being hypnotized sometimes.
Oh,
you
yeah.
meditate when you walk. Mm-hmm. You're meditating when you're doing a hobby because it's that concentration
mm-hmm.
that you're in. Anything like that is a form of meditation.
Yeah. People think you have to kind of go into a Zen place and block things out and chant, and you don't. It's really
mm-hmm.
very simple, and I think people should not be afraid to try that, because 5 minutes of meditation can feel like 8 hours of sleep if you're stressed.
Yes, yes.
You can take it right off your shoulders, and you know, it's like starting anew. So, yeah, I dearly recommend you try that. Now, also, the book includes simple exercises that invite psychic experience. So tell us about how that works.
Well, some of the exercises would be awareness.
Mm-hmm.
That's a key. You could do something like a simple thing. You're going to work, you know, and you're driving, and you follow a certain route every day, and you're just immune to what's going on. But go on that same route and observe everything. Look around. Try to see more of just getting to work. And then once you get home, same thing. And then sit down and write down everything you remember that you saw.
Mm-hmm.
that's a simple little exercise that helps to give you that ability, a sensory experience. If you take a walk in the park, you know, we say, oh, how beautiful. But if you stop at a flower and you actually look at the flower, feel the petals, look at the different colors in the petals, maybe the different color greens on the stem, that also will help to give you a sensory experience to open you up. Or if you're listening to music, as you're sitting there listening to music, start to think of, well, what shape does it remind me of? Go through the shapes and think, well, does it remind me of a certain kind of building? And start thinking of those things, because that helps to build the skill. And then, of course, there's a lot of exercises in the book that you can do, and they're all the ones that I did to develop the ability.
And they're not difficult. It's just a willingness to do it is going to get you through them, and you'll be amazed at the results. The other thing I just want to touch on before we kind of wind down on the book is the chapter about death is not the end, because so many people are, I was going to say dead scared, but I didn't, I caught my pun in time, but it isn't. And it's hard to prove that it isn't, but it, in my belief system, it is to believe. And so kind of explain why it isn't to those who are kind of not so sure.
Okay, well, one of the reasons is the fact that energy cannot be destroyed. So it goes someplace. But what brought me to the point of totally believing is I had an out-of-body experience. I actually was going through a past life regression with my psychic mentor. Mm-hmm. And in it, I had an incredible experience where I went to the other side and I saw God to me. It was Jesus, but I now realize that whatever you believe God to be is what you're going to see when you get on the other side. Mm-hmm. So I saw this, and I was given the opportunity to look at the earth beneath me, and I was able to see the past, the present, and the future of the people I was looking at below me. And at the same time, the other experience I had was I saw Eisenhower, former President Dwight Eisenhower, and Khrushchev, who were bitter enemies when they were alive. Mm-hmm. And I saw them in a hustle and bustle of people and them talking, and they were like bosom buddies getting along. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back, when she pulled me through the regression, I started to violently shake. And she told me, don't move. She ran and got me blankets and got me coffee and then explained, wouldn't let me pick my head up, is that I went so far out of body that I was truly on the other side. Mm-hmm. And what I was describing to her is, she stopped to write it down because it's what she had hoped to hear again that she heard 35 years before in the descriptions that I was giving of what was happening on the other side. That experience made me totally believe that there was a spirit world. And it is life. You have life on the other side. You do not die. Only your physical body dies, and that's the car you drive on the earth plane. You have to think of it. What really is you is your mind, because the mind cannot be cut open. We don't know what it is, but yet it drives everything about us. Mm-hmm. And when you die, that goes intact to the other side. That's you. And so you still have all your memories, and you carry on life on the other side through memories. The other experience I had was, again, this talk show radio host, Dr. David Viscott. I guess he was first a medical doctor, and he was performing surgery. And, of course, he was a total skeptic of anything that was spirit. So he was performing surgery, and the man died. And at that point, he and the other doctors actually saw the spirit body from the prone position lift up from the physical body. Mm-hmm. And that's when he believed. Yeah. And then, in fact, the scale of the weight changed also. So those two incidences made me believe there is no death, and there really isn't. And years of communicating with spirits, you know, I know that there is life on the other side. It just teaches you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree 1,000%. Now we're going to change gears just a little bit.
Okay.
For people who might be listening that are going to attend the Southern Mansion Ghost Hunt and Seance with you, mm-hmm. and Bruce Tango and Dave Tango and Steve Gonsalves, it's not too late to join in the fun. And there are some tickets available, but I think we need to talk a little bit about seance first, because there's, you know, people are seance curious. As I said, there's some people listening in who may be attending the event and don't know what to expect. And, you know, again, there are those that are generally seance curious. So tell us about the seance and what the participants can expect.
Okay, I will. Seances are very unique because it all depends upon the people assembled and, of course, the spirits of the house. So when I'm doing it in a haunted house, I'm going to do it two ways. First, I'm going to be doing it in order to make contact with the spirits in a haunted house. Then I'm going to change gears and concentrate on the spirits, the loved ones around the people who are in the circle. What can happen is, because I'm a bit of a physical medium, what happens to me when I do a ghost investigation, and people will see that at the event, if a spirit is around, you're going to see my stomach enlarge anywhere from 3.5 to 5 inches. It's been measured.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually goes in me, and you'll visibly see it. There's contractions, and mm-hmm. I look like I'm 9 months pregnant, you know, in it. So in a seance, that's also going to happen. If spirit is around a person and I want to get up and go and confirm it, I'm going to go and see if what happens with my stomach. Now, you also can feel things in the seance. You can feel the cold breeze of a spirit. It could be standing right by you. You might feel pain of how the spirit died. So you could start to feel an awareness of your heart, or sometimes if they were paralyzed, somebody might just actually be turned to the side and not being able to move momentarily. Mm-hmm. So it can be very physical, you know, so that you have physical interaction, or you really know that a spirit is present
mm-hmm.
because of the physical things. Of course, I go through the entire process and what needs to be explained, the patterns that I see, all of this, so everybody is totally prepared for the seance.
And you go into a light trance or a...
Well, I could, yes. Sometimes I get knocked into a trance, but I'm in an altered state, and I'm trying to bring them in, and then there's activity that happens. I might start to get an image, or somebody else may start to get an image, because they'll go to them. Because what I do is make you psychic for a night. To me, it's very important for someone who is a non-psychic to have an experience, because it's always more evidential.
Yes.
So I always strive for that. When I did the TV show Dead Tenants, we only went in for the spirits of the haunted place. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea how that was going to work, because my producer was saying, you got to make the skeptic have the experience. And I go, oh, I can't do that. The spirits are going to do that. Well, lo and behold, 10 seances, and every skeptic in those 10 houses was the one who had the experience in the circle. It wasn't me. It was the other side doing it. So you just don't know what can happen. Where you can have somebody really, you know, have an experience and feel spirit, which is fun.
Mm-hmm. It is, and sometimes literally feel spirit.
Yes.
You know, a tap on the hand, a tap on the shoulder.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can get information. I think one of the most unique in seances that were for people. It wasn't in a haunted house. And I'll be doing both, you know, that night, those nights,
mm-hmm.
Was I kept getting the father of someone present. And I was describing it, but then the father gave her a message. And the message was her husband was cheating on her.
Mm.
And there's no way she believed that. And I went back in and I said, well, this is what he's telling me, and I can only give you what he's telling me. and I'm backing it up, he's saying it more than once. So she went home, and she lived in Washington, D.C., and apparently it bothered her, so she hired a private investigator. And sure enough, the private investigator found her husband in bed with another woman in their house. So here the father, deceased father, was trying to tell her what her husband was doing. So I think that's a very unique experience.
It is.
That happened.
And it's kind of like expect the unexpected, because it's a wonderful experience to do. Seance, I think, is something that everybody should do for a variety of reasons. And, you know, some seances, they don't go around the table to the people, and I think they kind of lose out when they don't do that, because that, for maybe people who don't think they're psychic, if you're going around and they all of a sudden receive a message, they feel it.
Right.
That's kind of, there went the wall, you know, knock it down.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I like to do it that way. And I don't use a table. We're just in chairs so I can get up to go to the person. But I do it that way because I would love to have someone in the circle have the experience.
Yes.
It changes their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And even the people in the circle, because it's more evidential. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you'll get answers. Sometimes you may think a person committed suicide, but they were really murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And information like that will come out. Sometimes I've had an actual healing from a father in spirit to his daughter who was losing a baby.
Wow.
And he was insisting that she was having the baby, and she was going the next day to have a, not an abortion, but whatever they were going to do, because the placenta was separating. And when she went to the doctor the next day, the doctor said, there's no problem. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know what's going to happen.
No, and divine healing is amazing. It truly is.
Yes.
So anybody that, go ahead, sorry.
What I want to also say is that sometimes people get afraid because they think they're going to take a spirit home with them, or they can get possessed. That cannot happen.
Right.
And I explain all that in the introduction when I'm before I do the seance.
Yeah, we do have to remove the fear factor because, again, Hollywood has made seances a very scary thing to think about. And in fact, you know, it's more like an eye-opening spirituality, wonderful experience to go through. And so, I encourage anybody that can get to this, if you haven't got a ticket in New Jersey, really, it would be wonderful, because not only that, all right, here's a couple of the other things that's going on there. A ghost hunt with TV's Ghost Hunters, with Dave Tango, with Steve Gonzalez, with Bruce. So they're doing that. Bruce Tango is going to be doing a Lights Out EVP session, which is wonderful. And that's where he found out that he's got an admirer on the other side who's waiting for him. They've got a hot date. You know, this is good. And you never know what comes through on EVPs when you're doing that too. So between the ghost hunt, there's a meet and greet. There's all kinds of things. But the ghost hunt, the Lights Out EVP session, the seances and everything, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. So
no, it's true.
Let's I'll let everybody know that they can find out more information about it. They can get tickets. Like I said, there's available on both nights. Not many, but there are. So, you know, jump up. It's Mansion, MansionGh. eventbrite.com, and that's EventBrite. And you'll find everything you need to know there. And go. I'm so jealous that you guys are 3,000 miles away. I mean, I would hop on the room, but it's in the shop. You know how that goes.
But
I would just absolutely adore being there. So, you know, for
it's
what
it's going to be an experience, that definitely.
Yeah, for what that's worth. Now, I also, now that I've got you here, I want you to talk about things that you do, that people can contact you after the event is over. You know, your books, your book, the information on classes, readings, all that stuff. Talk.
The information on all that would be on my website, which is under my name, Jane, J-A-N-E-D-O-H-E-R-D-Y. You also can find me on Facebook because I post everything there. I will be doing psychic development here in New Jersey, but I'm going, probably at the end of February, but I'm going to then put it online and start classes online. I'm finishing, putting the finishing touches because I wanted to start from intuition right on to being certified as a psychic so that it's comprehensive. So anybody can just take the beginning to do on their own, or if they want to spend time doing more, they can do that too. So I do that, and I do readings. I do readings for the future, and I do readings for spirit, and sometimes I do combinations where I'm doing the future, and then I'll go into spirit if they want to make contact with the spirit. So, and that can be done on the phone also.
And I think people sometimes get confused. You know, we were talking about the word psychic, but there are psychic mediums as well, because not all psychics do mediumship.
Right.
And so you do, and so there's that clarification. It's like, you know, people that are mediums that don't go into trance, there are trance mediums, for example. I mean, it gets complicated, and people don't always know who's doing what and why.
Right.
But,
right. I don't read cards, so I think that's something that changes things, because I'm not, I don't use cards as my medium. I'm clairvoyant, and I'm, you know, just saying a prayer, getting quiet, writing down whatever I'm receiving when I'm doing the future, give it to interpret them, and then they get to ask questions, and then I'll focus on a spirit for them if that's what they want. But it's all done clairvoyantly. I just happen to be both, because I started out just doing readings for the future, and then I went into ghost hunting and seances, which was more spirit communication. So that's how I'm both as a result.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting the way that we do things. And like, I started reading cards. I did, and I do have an oracle deck out. But I was doing readings too, and I was kind of using the cards. And one day it just hit me. Get rid of your crutch. You don't need the crutch, because I was hearing things as I was looking at the cards anyway. And that kind of served me well. I mean, they were good to begin with. And I still, like I said, I've got Oracle deck, an Oracle deck out there, the Witch's Oracle, which is really good for people for affirmations and finding out what's going to happen today. Pull a card, you know, it's not like it's complicated as tarot. But I just had that epiphany after the longest time. That I needed to kind of put the cards aside. I mean, I could draw one here and there if I wasn't getting anything, but honest to God, it served me well in the beginning, but so much better now that I don't need...
That you don't use them.
Yeah, all right. And it's not that I don't need them, but yeah.
And well, it's a tool. Mm-hmm. It's a tool that helps you get into your psychic ability. And then after a while, you really don't need the tool, because then you can get confused, because you're reading what the cards say, but you're hearing something else.
Yes.
And then you don't know what's right and what's not. So at that point, you need to just let go of the cards.
Yeah, no, I trust the voices in my head and not the ones that make me crazy, the good ones. we always talk about voices in our heads, and sometimes they will make you crazy.
Uh-huh.
I keep saying 3 o'clock in the morning when you hear your name really loud and it wakes you up. It's like, oh, please.
I know.
Having such a nice dream. And now what? And then, but that's the thing. They'll wake you up. They'll call your name. You're all of a sudden sitting up in bed and they're gone. They don't continue.
Know.
You know, there's no, it's a hit and run thing. I think it's psychic tag, you know, or something. They do it on purpose. They see the light over. Okay, well, you know, somebody's here that can do this, and they can hear us, and they can see us. Let's have fun. And they do. And that's always kind of amazing when that happens. But, yeah, I mean.
I know.
There's something about being clairaudient that has its little, you know, has its little tiny downside sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. But for the most part, it's you're experiencing life fully.
Yeah.
because you're using all of your senses.
That's it.
And I could turn it one up notch that most people would never even think of. Mm. But if you are clairvoyant and you're doing clairaudient and mm-hmm. clairsentient, and all of these are opened and sensory, think of sex, because sex will be so much better.
Mm-hmm. Well,
something you never thought of.
Well, in the craft, we talk about sex magic, and it kind of falls into that
pattern.
So, I hear that. One more time before we go, give everybody your website address if they want to run over there and spend some time and look around and get in touch with you.
Sure. It's janedoherty.com. It's JaneDoherty. And I'm on Facebook under my name. You can find me. You also can email me. It's my name, janedoherty@comcast.net. But it's also on the website. You can find it. And my telephone number is there, too.
You're easy to find and well worth finding, by the way. So, again, thank you. Thank you for coming back. Oh, and please,
you
next
are very
time,
welcome.
Come back sooner than later. Because, I mean, we're talking years here.
And I know.
None of us are getting any younger. So while we still have our faculties, I want you back.
Right. Yes, okay. Would love to. There's always a lot to talk about.
Yes, there is, and we will do that. And I want to thank everybody for listening in as well, those that are listening now live and those in the podcast. And until next time, everybody, blessed be, and merry meet again. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2024. The Mysterioso March by Kevin MacLeod is licensed through Incompetech.com.